on. Hallelujah. All right, so this morning I do want to share a message. It's 2023. And Lord has put something on my heart for 2023. And I want to share it. And this message, I want you to take it as an encouragement. And I also want you to take it as a warning. What the Lord really, and he downloaded in my heart, I really just wait for the Lord to give me a message. I don't sit there and I wait. And I go on live every single morning, and I wait every morning. I go and say, okay, Lord, and he'll put something on my heart. And it's usually very relevant. So this message for today, the Lord put the word vice versa. Vice versa. It's going to be a message of encouragement. And it's going to be an exciting message, but it's also going to be a warning, and vice versa. What does that mean? Well, like, you got to go out and earn a living. You got to make, you know, you got to have a job, you got to support your family, and you got to have, and you got to serve God, and vice versa. What does that mean? You could change them around. So I want you to take and be open, because some people might get a little offended at this message that I'm about to preach, but others would get excited. It depends on how you receive it. I am excited for 2023 more than any year I've ever recalled anything. I have an expectation in my heart that is literally pushing me to say, go out the dreams and the visions that God has put on your heart, the calling, the ministries, the book, whatever it is, God's saying, this is the year of let's go. You've got to go. You don't have to. I say that you've got to, or you don't. I have an expectation, and I really feel, and he's already done things already in just this 1 month, where he said, I will meet you at your level of faith. Whatever level of faith you're ready to walk out into, I will meet you. Because this is the year for kingdom business. This is the year for us to make impact in this world. This is the year for us to go out and see revival and stop talking about it. Revival is here. But he's waiting for people to step out. And we're waiting on God and says, no, I'm waiting on you. Whatever level that you step out on, God has already shown me this, confirmed this to me, and I'm excited about 2023. But at the same time, we also got to take it seriously. We also got to understand what's going to be happening in 2000. I feel that we are going to see a revival and a resuscitation in the church like we've never seen before. God breathing his life, doing spiritual CPR on us, that we are, as a church, have been almost dormant and sleeping and unconscious and dead at some points. But if you move, God will meet you. If you go, God will meet you there. If you stay, you might miss this opportunity. What I feel in my heart is 2023 is going to be the greatest signs and wonder years that we've ever seen. We will see deliverance like we've never seen. We will see healing like we've never seen. To give the church an encouragement, because let me tell you something, we're getting close to the return of Jesus. We are getting very close, and I believe this is one of the final pushes for the church to go out there and impact the world. Hallelujah. I believe there is going to be supernatural increase, as well as supernatural decrease, and vice versa. It says in Matthew 24, as we get closer and closer, and the birth pains get more and more intense, and we're getting ready, the baby's getting ready to come, he said there will be an increase in persecution. There will be an increase in hatred against you if you are a follower of Jesus. He said lawlessness will increase. He said actually the word is multiply. But I also believe that there will be a remnant that will rise up, and there will be an increase in mighty signs and wonders and works and miracles. There will be those who are called to deliverance, and we will deliver. We're going to see the demonic come set free. We are going to see those who have been asking for healing, we're going to see healing. We're going to see an increase, but we're also going to see a decrease. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This is the Message version. It says it in a very, very clear way. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. And it says in the last days in other versions. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending slanderers. It's going to increase. They'll be impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. They will be addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. This is a good version. This is like how we talk today. Stay clear of these people. It says in the end times, we're going to see an increase in this. But we're also going to see an increase of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to go out through all the earth. And vice versa. How could we have an increase in this stuff? See, there's a myth, and let me call it what it is. There's a myth and a bad theology out there that says that the gospel's going to be preached and we're going to take over. That we're going to have, everything's going to be Christian, and we're going to literally usher in the kingdom. We're going to take control of the media. We're going to take control of the schools. We're going to take control of the government. We're going to take control of entertainment. We're going to take control of the sports, and everything's going to become a Christian nation. That's hogwash. It's not what the Bible says. But it also says there will be an increase of His Spirit being poured out. Huh? Because we're looking at the wrong things. There will be an increase of revival, but you know what revival is? It's when somebody's heart is beating out of rhythm and the person's about to die because the heart's not pumping blood and they have to be revived, and somebody says, get the defibrillator. Clear. They have to have their heartbeat back in alignment. Boom, 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 boom. And we as a church, we got all kinds of explanations and definitions and meanings and thoughts and imaginations what revival is. But revival, my friend said this the other day. He said, in order to have revival, don't we have to first have vival? I said, did you make that word up? But to be revived is to be made live, to be made whole, to be made right. And I'm telling you, with revival also comes a resuscitation. It's going to be either Team Jesus or Team Satan. That's what it comes down to in the end. We are going to see an increase of darkness, but also an increase of light. Arise, shine, it says in the Word, for thy light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine, for in the midst of utter darkness, that's the time for the light to shine. I don't know if you noticed this week, I posted it, a lot of people might have not seen it, but there was literally a satanic statue erected in the middle of, on top of a courthouse in New York City. If you look at it, it is a demonic gold statue as it can get. It looks like Medusa. It's on a lotus flower. There's, I mean, you just, it's not coming out of someone's, this isn't coming out of the pit of hell. And it's in a memorial to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her pro-abortion stance. A demon. We literally erected a demonic idol god on top of a courthouse. One of my cousins said, she said, Ron, get out of New York. I said, you know what? Sometimes the fiercest battles require the strongest warriors. Sometimes the darkest caverns require the brightest lights. It even says in one of the letters in Revelation, I know you're in the den of Satan. And we're not going to compromise. We're not going to be conformed. We're not just going to go ahead with it. We're going to say it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. And it's time for us to be the warriors for God. Amen. In times of utter darkness, that's when the light shines the brightest. We are at decision point. I'm expecting 2023 to be the greatest year I've ever seen. But you got to do something about it. I'm going to give you the double-sidedness, right? So we got light and darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5 says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's not going to be a complete takeover of Christianity. That's not going to happen until Jesus returns. When Jesus returns as the King of Kings and his real triumphal entry, when the sky splits and the sky turns black and the moon loses its light and the angels start shouting and that final trumpet sounds, when King Jesus comes and he defeats the enemy, he throws the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire and Satan is bound for 1,000 years. When he comes, then it will be a Christian world. It's not America, it's not a republic, it's not a democratic system. It's going to be a system ruled by a king, a theocracy. But before then, it's going to get darker. It's going to get more brutal. People are going to become more savage. They are going to become more haters of God. You're going to see an increase in persecution. This is not the time for the church to go into turtle mode and tuck its head in the shell and just wait. It's not time for the church to go into ostrich mode and bury our heads in the sand and say, just let it go, just let it go. I can't wait till it's all over. No, you got to do something about it, and you got to rise up, and you got to step up, and you got to go ahead and say, Lord, use me. He's given you dreams. He's given you visions. He's given you the things in the middle of the night. He's given you confirmations. He's given you the prophetic words. You know it, and you know that it's going to happen, but God says you got to have to step out of the boat. You're going to have to come to me, and I'll meet you. And I will open the doors that no man can shut, and I will shut the doors that no man can open, but you got to move. Or don't. Comfortable, comfort zone Christians are going to be a casualty of the war. When Jesus spoke again to the people, John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then he told us, you are the light of the world. It's like a candle that passes and burns another candle. He's the master candle, and we get refilled into his candle, and we start becoming the light of the world. Did you know it says that in the Bible? Come on, somebody say, I am the light of the world. Because you're in Jesus. 1 John 1, verse 5 through 9. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You've got a lot of people who say, why do I need a savior? I'm fine. There's an increase in arrogance. There's an increase in narcissism. There's an increase of people being self-absorbed with themselves. If we confess our sin, though, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We're in a vice versa situation. The choice is yours. What are you going to do? Are you going to be in the light or are you going to be in the darkness? I'm excited about 2023. I know what God's about to do. I know there is going to be breakthrough like we've never seen. But it comes with the caveat. At the same time, we're going to see darkness and falling away like we've never seen. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, we talk about this falling away. Now, if you really just want to take this one verse and just study this chapter, I think this is the wrong chapter. I think this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. I have a mistake here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now he's talking about now regarding the return of Jesus and his coming and him gathering to us. Just read this for what it is. Concerning Jesus coming back and him gathering to us. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, I don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. Excuse me, this is the right chapter. I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm preaching out of memory, and it's not what I'm reading. I get to that other verse in the next one. The day of the, we hear this all the time, right? Jesus is going to come like a thief. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. How many of you heard that? How many of you heard that to say, we have no idea, that we have no clue when Jesus is coming back. He's going to come like a thief in the night, like just one day. Phew. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. Well, the day of the Lord is a terrible time for those who are not in Jesus. But we don't read the next verse. So here, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. Now, 4 says, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. What? There's more to that verse? The people who are in darkness, he's going to come like a thief. But the people who are in the light, they're going to have a clue that Jesus is coming soon. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. The people who are sleeping have no clue when Jesus is coming. They are not even looking. It's totally clueless to them. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. Who is he going to appear as a thief in the night to? Those in darkness. Are you in darkness? Or are you in light? I don't know. I hope you're in the light. I hope you are. And we have an increase in evil, but we're all going to see an increase in good as well, and vice versa. This is a dichotomy. How? Because our impression and our thoughts of what means to be revival is we got to line it up with what the Bible says. Now you, every single person in here, if you step out, you can operate. Because Jesus didn't say, well, I'm calling some to be pastors and evangelists. And only in those people, there's going to be an increase and a pouring out in his spirit. The rest of you laity, lay people, don't expect that to happen. Is that Bible? Go out into the world and make disciples of all men. Who's he talking to? Us. Casting out demons. Us. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. You mean I could raise the dead? Yeah, the problem why nobody's raising the dead is nobody's walking out expecting that the dead are going to be raised. But there's going to be a new level of faith. There's going to be a new level. Once you see a demon come out of someone, you go, oh, this is real. Once you see a supernatural healing happen, you go, oh, this is real. We are going to see an increase in deception, but we're also going to see an increase in truth. It's not going to cover the world and take over the world, but it's going to increase in those who are stepping out. It is a remnant. It's not going to be a big, major, I'm not going to say the number because I don't know, but it's not what we're expecting, but it's going to be an increase in those who step out. The Lord showed me a couple years ago that before we were relying on the Billy Grahams, 100,000 and 70,000 and the major evangelists. Well, guess what? Now all we need is 10,000 touching 10,000. We need 100,000 people touching 100,000. So it's not about the numbers. It's about the power in those who are walking out. There's going to be a massive increase in deception. If you read in Matthew 24, Jesus says this. There will be deception. There will be those who come in my name. And they're going to deceive many. Be on guard. Paul said, hey, don't let anybody deceive you about when the day of Christ is going to come, because it's surely not going to happen. I don't care who tells you it's going to happen. If they say it's an angel, or if it's they say they make up a letter from me, or I don't care who tells you. If anybody, this is Paul saying this. If anybody tells you that the day of Christ will come before the great falling away and before the man of lawlessness is revealed, it's a deception. Someone says, Ron, you preach too hard on this. I'm reading the Bible. What do you want me to preach? Well, that's what deception does. I know somebody out there right now who professes to be a Christian, and he talks about God, and all he does is talk about darkness, how we're supposed to embrace the darkness. I've seen brothers in Christ post this. We've got to get comfortable with our darkness. We got to get comfortable with the dark part of our personalities. We got to get comfortable. I'm like, that's false. That is nowhere in the Bible does it say that. There's also going to be an increase in apathy. And this is what we're seeing right now. Apathy. Apathetic attitudes. What is apathy? Apathy is, I'm like numb. I don't care. There's no passion. There's no stimulation of emotion. They're just like, We're seeing an increase in drugs and substances and even prescriptions that are numbing people. They're walking zombies. They think they're woke. They're sleepwalking, I say. They're not woke. They're like in zombie mode. Their brains have been eaten out by the enemy. But the problem is we're also seeing a lot of Christians this way. Well, I don't go to church. Do you pray? I don't pray. Do you fellowship with other believers? There's never a conversation about God. And a spirit of apathy has started to settle in. This is why we need to get resuscitated. Or a Holy Ghost kick in the pants. People are sleeping, and that sleeping is they're stopping breathing. They're on the verge of death. We can't walk around like apathetic Christians. Amen? We need to be revived. Revive us, O Lord. Resuscitate us, O Lord. There's going to be an increase in apathy, but there's also going to be an increase in sensitivity. I looked up the opposite of apathy. You're sensitive. And who do we need to be sensitive to? The Holy Spirit. And the more you ignore the Holy Spirit, and the more you get comfortable with your flesh, and the more you're comfortable with not turning away from wickedness, and the more you get comfortable with just an apathetic attitude, we grieve and we become less sensitive. And then we become less sensitive like a part of your skin that gets a callus on it. You can poke it. You can poke it with a knife. It's like spiritual neuropathy. It's like spiritual diabetes, where people stepped on a pin and they don't even realize it, and they go to the doctor, they got a big sore under their foot because they become apathetic in their nerves. But we will see an increase in those who are sensitive. We will see an increase in those who say, the Lord just told me to call you. The Lord put this word on my heart. The Lord told me to ask you if I could pray for you. The Lord said that you need deliverance, and now's the time for deliverance. Can I pray with you right now? The Lord's going to, for those who are sensitive, he's going to guide their steps. Go here and go here. Whoom! Attack of the enemy. Go here, then go here. Whoom! Attack of the enemy. Go here and move around, and you avoided the trap that the enemy set. We can no longer be an apathetic church. Come on, we all know people who are numb. I remember I told you that story about the guy I was with at the supermarket who had all the bags of the pork rinds in his hands. And I'm like, yo, bro, why don't you buy some pork rinds? He has like 20 bags of pork rinds. I don't even know what he was doing. And he turns around like this numb. Yeah, Agent Orange, Korea, cancer. He said I'm not going to live much longer. He was in zombie mode. I don't know how to deal with this news. I don't know how to deal with this heartache. I don't know how to deal with what just happened. I don't know how to deal with it. So they become numb. And then calloused. I'm seeing a lot of people become calloused, and even those who have proclaimed to be Christians. I've seen those who have tasted and known, who have seen, who have experienced the Holy Spirit, who have experienced God's presence, but now they're over here completely numb and burnt out and bitter and filled with anger. And a calloused heart. And it says in the Bible, "Ooh, that's not a place to be," because it says it's impossible for a person who's got to that point, not a prodigal, not a person who's no longer, you know, they got They're out there sowing their wild oats. That's not what that means. It means they become so apathetic and so numb that they have tasted and seen, but now they're over here rejecting God. I don't know if I believe anymore. Calluses. I don't know about this whole Christianity thing. I think it's all fake. I don't really think there's a God who's out there. And they become callous and just says, be careful, because you'll get to that point where God will even sear your conscience. I'm not talking about prodigals. I'm not talking about the person who said, give me my inheritance, and went out there. I'm talking about the person who was allowed sin and allowed all the tools of the enemy to callous their heart so much that they, I mean, have you watched, like, in the last few years, prominent Christians, musicians, famous Christian singers that we grew up with? Now, I don't believe in God. I reject it all. That's what apostasy is. That's what the great falling away is. That's going to happen with an event where it's going to be a major sweeping away of people. So we can't allow ourselves to be apathetic. We must remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I told you this is going to tick off some people, but other people are going to be motivated. Some people are going to be energetic, and some people, they feel anger and angst with this message because they don't want to come back to the Lord, because they're wrestling with God, and they're saying, when I'm hitting a nerve, it's hitting something where they go, no, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. I'm tired of this stuff. I posted on that I was coming here, and on Instagram, I said, it's a time for revival. It's a time for healing. It's a time for deliverance. It's a time for us to step out, that God will meet you at your level of faith. And I just saw this person who's a spiritual advisor. I don't know who he is. Well, what God are you talking about? Are you talking about a made-up homophobic God? Or are you talking about the God of the Bible, a fake word? Are you talking about some man-made thing? Is that what kind of God you're talking about? Because I can't get behind and support that type of God. I said, I'm talking about Jehovah, Yahweh. I'm talking about the one who is and was and is to come. I'm talking about the one who made the universe and everything within it. I'm talking about the one who loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you. You don't need to get behind him. You don't need to support him. You don't need to stand behind him. But one thing I can tell you, you will stand before him. That's the God I'm talking about. And that was probably a person that at one time probably was a believer in God. But calloused heart, apathy, falling into the enemy's lies has caused that hardness in their heart. Now, we're also going to see an increase in compromise. Three areas that the Lord showed me are easy entry gates for Christians to compromise on. These are compromise gates. You walk through this gate, you've laid down your armor, and you start to compromise on what the Bible says. One is what we're seeing in this nation right now. It's the dividing topic in this nation. Abortion. There are Christians who have compromised and said, well, it's just a clump of cells. It's not really a baby. I mean, there are churches like that. As a matter of fact, there's a church, I won't name their name, but they won't even let their members talk about abortion because we don't want to make people angry. It's a divisive issue. Walk right through that gateway of compromise. Walk right through the fact that we know that God is the one who formed us in the womb. We know that it was John the Baptist who jumped up in joy when he was just in the presence of Jesus in the womb. Abortion. The second one where Christians are compromising on, if you mention the word, you get banned, but it's homosexuality. Who am I? Love is love. We compromised on it. It's a gateway. Like they say, marijuana is a gateway to bigger drugs. People who do marijuana then move on usually to more advanced stuff. They call it a gateway drug. Well, we have a gateway compromise. Well, maybe he didn't really mean homosexuals. Maybe he meant male prostitutes and female prostitutes. That's not what the... And they twist it. But it's a gateway of compromise. And I'm going to tell you the third one, which I really believe. People are going to get mad when I mention this. It's okay. You can write me. You can go to supervictorious.org. Send me a real mean email because I've got them all before. Get ready. We have compromised with the gateway of yoga. We have Christians, it's just stretching. No, it's specific postures of worship to Hindu gods. Yoga is a yoking. You are yoking yourself to the Hindu gods. You're opening a gateway for spiritual destruction. Oh, but my gym does yoga. They just call it yoga. Woo, man, I get people ticked off at me when I mention that. But it's a gateway. You're not being aware and alert, and you're not seeing what the gateway... We have Christians doing church yoga classes in church. Wednesday night is our yoga class. Christian yoga. That's like Christian Satanism. How does that work? I'm a Christian witch. What? Do some research on it. There are other gateways which the enemy will use to compromise and to get people to go ahead and compromise their beliefs. It's the gateway. Here, I'm going to give you these simple gateways. 76 million people are having sex outside of marriage. That is a gateway. It's not really bad. Come on, that's old-fashioned. I'm already married and divorced. You're going to tell me that I can't have sex at this age? Yep. Come on, it's just, that's old-fashioned stuff. It's a gateway. And at first you take the gateway and you don't realize you take the next gateway. And then all of a sudden you're taking the next one. And then you're going to the next level of compromise. And then the Bible isn't really the Bible. Well, Paul was wrong. Who is Paul? He wrote like most of the New Testament. Well, don't listen to that guy, Paul. The New Testament's all wrong. It was written by the Roman Catholics and men. And then they start coming up with strange theories because they didn't even notice that because that gateway opened the door to deception. Like I told you, I don't care. If I step on your toes, this is what we're going to see, right? But there's also going to be an increase of Christians who are on guard, who are going to take the Bible seriously when it says, your enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy and devour. Be on guard. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Understand the deception and the paths and the lies of the enemy. And we're going to see an increase in those who are. At the same time, vice versa, we're going to see an increase in those who are deceived. You have to choose. This is the day of choice. This is the day to see the greatest miracles and the greatest faith and the greatest actions and the greatest things that God's going to demonstrate. Or it could be your worst year ever. It could be a year of total just apathetic callousness. You fall away from God with a callous heart. It could be. That's why we got to be careful with prophetic words. When people speak prophetic words of just blessing and blessing and blessing, but they don't speak if, like the Bible says. If my people, if he tells Solomon, look, I see what you did, the biggest parade and the biggest worship service, the biggest amount of sacrifices to me, I see it all. I see that everybody's dancing in the street and you're having a 3-day party and you're all about me. But There will be times, God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that I will shut up the clouds and stop it from raining. I will take away the blessings. I will even let the locusts come in and devour your crops because you got haughty and prideful and forgot about me. And then it says what we always quote, but if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, if you seek my face and turn from the wickedness, then I will heal your land. You got to have both sides of the prophecy. You got to have both sides of the prophetic word. I believe 2023 is going to be a year of breakthrough. It's going to be a year of revival. It's going to be a year of just exciting things of God. If you stay in God. What a lie that is from the pit of hell to think blessings and prosperity and all these things are going to come on you and you're not walking with the Lord. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm just preaching out of my heart right now. I'm just preaching where I'm so excited, but I'm also so concerned. Is it okay that I stay real like this? There's going to be times coming where you're going to be tested in your faith. There's going to be times coming where you will have to stand strong in your faith. There's times coming that there will be persecution. There will be times that people might even have to face jail or persecution to the point of death for being a Christian. I got scolded one time for preaching that. And I was told that message is too hard. Okay, I said, next time I'll tickle their ears a little bit more. If you want, I'll come and give them a little ear tickle. Ooh, does that feel good, Jeff? Jeff, does that feel nice? Ah, like a little? Come on, Jeff. Come on, you. Let me tell you, brother, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to have an abundance of wealth. You don't have to commit to God. You don't have to follow him. But whatever you do, you're going to put your hand to it. It's going to prosper. There is no other thing that I'm going to tell you. You don't have to go away from sin or you don't have to do anything else. But I want to tickle that ear for you. Like a dog. Ooh. Come on, give me the tickle. Is it okay that I'm being honest? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 23. Woe. Everybody say woe. Not like, what's his name who used to say that? Woe! I think Joey from Friends used to say that, and Joey Lawrence used to say that in that show Blossom. Woe! No, like woe, like warning, warning, warning. Woe to those who call evil good. And good evil. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to them. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them. Woe to those who consider themselves wise and judge themselves clever. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine. Who are champions at pouring beer. Who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of justice. Woe. Woe is a bad word. Destruction is coming. Destruction is coming to those who call evil good and good evil. Destruction is coming for those who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Again, I'm reading the Bible. Listen, I'm going to read it. I'm giving you a lot of Bible verses today. Because this isn't my fired up Ron opinion. I'm telling you, it's going to be the best year for some of you you've ever had. But for some of you, it's going to be the worst year you ever had. If you are not walking and trusting and obeying God. There will be an increase in finances. I believe it. Supernatural increase in finances to spread the kingdom. I'm not preaching a prosperity message. I'm saying God has to bless certain people so they can fund the kingdom. Things require funds. And I believe there will be supernatural prosperity. But God's economy is not the world's economy. It could be in the middle of a crypto collapse, stock market collapse, real estate collapse. It looks like inflation is through the roof. Someday eggs are going to be $10 an egg. But God's economy is still separate from this economy. Don't walk around going, woe is me. Oh, it's so bad. Things are getting expensive. Say, Lord, I know that you will meet me wherever I go, and I'm going to walk, and I don't care if it's $20 for a dozen eggs. You'll supply me the eggs. Hallelujah. I just want to tell this story. I've heard it's going around, but it's a very encouraging story. Because some of you are focusing on the economy. Some of you are focusing on what's going on in the real estate market. Some of you are looking at your funds and you're seeing you're suffering from Funzalo disease. But you got to start trusting in God. He will come forth. He will come through. He said, trust me and see what I can do. There's the story of this lady who was praying and praying and praying for God to provide her food. She had no food. And she was praying and praying that God would provide her food. And then one day she walks outside and there's all these bags of groceries. And she goes, thank you, God. And out of the bush, her neighbor jumps out and says, aha, I got you. God didn't do that. I went and bought those groceries for you. And you're giving praise to a God who doesn't exist. It was me. And she said, God did it. God did it. God did it. He said, no, you're not right. God didn't do it. I'm an atheist. I heard you praying in your window, and I went and got those groceries. It's not God. She said, God did it. God did it. And God did it. He said, no, it was me. She said, no, God did it, and he made the devil pay for it. God's economy is not the world's economy. But you got to live in Christ. You got to get rid of the compromise, the apathy, the deception, the gateways. You got to go back to truth. Here's our instruction. Ephesians 5, 1 through 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. There's an if-then clause. To get your inheritance, you got to live by the king's rules. And if you're not, just come back. This isn't a message about condemnation. Let me keep reading in verse 6 through 14. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. Somebody say amen. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it said, come on, read it in bold with me. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up! Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thoughts. The Gentiles, meaning the people who don't know Christ, they have futile thoughts. They're airheads is basically what it's saying. They are darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. How did they get a hardened heart? Well, they became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with the desire for more and more. My precious. They want it, and they want to hold on to it, and it caused them to have a calloused heart. But that's not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. See, this is another deception that's out there. It comes as an angel of light. No, don't embrace the darkness. It's about love. You have to have a new enlightened understanding that you are a divine creature and that you are the... This is a message that gets preached as well. You are divine. But the problem is you're looking at your flesh and your spirit is already divine. It's part of God. It is God. That when God created... This is a message that is an opposite deception. You have to put on your new self, which means the old self must die. Why would you need salvation if your spirit is already perfect without Christ? But in Christ, I am a new creation. Hallelujah. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Look at somebody right now and say, you're a member of my body. And then tell them, I am a member of the same body. We're all kind of, right? And look at the animosity, and look at the anger, and look at the division that Christians have with one another. Look at the competition that's in between Christians. And pastors, you know it and you've seen it. I'm part of you. We're part of the same body of Christ. I encourage you. I bless you. I want to see you prosper. I want to go out there and see you walk in the gifts. I want you to get the breakthrough that you want. I want you to go out and accomplish great things in Jesus because your body is a part of my body. What'd you say? Go or not. Okay. Just didn't catch it, that's all. Do not be angry, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he's to do honest work with his own hands, that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You are sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Soldiers, attention! Soldiers, you are in a battle, whether you like it or not. And it's time for you to get engaged in battle things. It's time for you to start making sure that you are ready. Engaged means I am ready. I'm fighting. I have my weapons, that I'm not just sitting there, wonder what's going on. I'm just going to let somebody else fight this battle. Look how you have to engage. I'll read this to the cows come home. I don't know what that means, but it means a long time, I think. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on. Everybody say, put on. It's not optional. You're in the battle. Here's how you engage. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Say, take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on. Say, put on. The full armor of God, so when that day of evil comes, you may be able to do everything you can do. What? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, then stand. Stand firm then. This is how you engage. You've got to put it on. You've got to stand. You've got to take. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up, come on, say it. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What do we next do? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And come on, pray in the what? Pray in the what? How many of you mighty anointed warriors pray in the Spirit? And how many of you, if you don't, would like to start praying in the Spirit? Then stand to your feet. Come on, warriors. I'm not here for playtime. Let's pray in the Spirit.
Oh, Lord, we are following your word. You said to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Well, this is an occasion, and we are praying in the Spirit, Lord God. We are letting you download into us. We are letting you speak through us. We are letting you speak out into the atmosphere things of faith and things of knowledge and things of prophecy, Lord God. We just pray in your Holy Spirit. And if you don't have it, say, Lord, I want it. Because right here you said pray in the Spirit, and I need it. I take it and accept everything that you're offering, that this is a gift of the Father, and I pray it right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me your anointing. Raise me to a new level of power and boldness and sound mind. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Lord, we need you. Lord, we are expecting great things in 2023. We are believing you, Lord, and we are stepping out in faith. Our flesh doesn't want to do this. Our mind is coming against us. Our imaginations are raising things up that exalt itself against the knowledge. But we continue to pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and do a mighty work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray in the Spirit, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit just come in like a wind. It comes like a flood. It comes like a fire, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, anoint this church with prophetic words. Anoint this church with a boldness, Lord God, that people say on Long Island, what is going on in Copeg, New York, Lord God? I sense it and I feel it that there is revival in Full Gospel Christian Church. Lord, we pray and declare that you resuscitate this town, that you resuscitate this church. Lord, give your holy CPR. It is not over in Jesus' name. It is not dead in Jesus' name. I declare a resuscitation, a breath that we are alive, that we are alive. I once was dead, but now I'm alive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray for you that when you speak, that the mystery of the gospel will be revealed. I pray for you that when you go out, God puts his boldness on you, that you see healing and that you start seeing deliverance in Jesus' name. Pray for the body. Stop talking about them. Pray also for me that words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. I pray, Lord God, as Paul was praying for a prayer, that we may declare it fearlessly in Jesus' name. I'm telling you right now, church, that it's time for either a breakthrough or it's time for a breakdown. Which one do you want? Are you going to press through? Are you going to press into God's presence? Or are you going to say, Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on believing. Come on. This is the time right now for your breakthrough or your breakdown. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Mike, play something in there. If you got some kind of music, I need some music. We're not just ending this service like we normally do. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm telling you right now, this is a time for your freedom. This is a time for your deliverance. If you feel like there's been a dark spirit on you that has been tormenting you, this right now is the time for to let the Holy Ghost do his work. It is through the anointing that every yoke is broken in Jesus' name. We will not settle. We will not sit down. We will not shut up. We will press on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on. If you need healing and you've been standing on the word for healing, right now is your time for healing. If you're standing on the word and you haven't seen the breakthrough in your finances, right now's the time you're going to stand on the word and say, my breakthrough's coming. He is Jehovah Jireh. It is not something he does. It is something he is. He is Jehovah Rapha. Healing isn't something he does. It is something he is. He is your banner of victory. Come on, just a second. I'm going to ask you to run to this altar. If you're tired of living defeated, if you're tired of living like the devil's got a foot on your neck, if you're tired of feeling broke down, this is the time of victory. Hallelujah. Come on, Mike, play something. I need something right now in the back. Hallelujah, Lord God. Come on to the altar right now. My Aunt Diane and Uncle Eugene, we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands. We're going to believe that His word is true, that we are going to believe that His promise is yes and amen. Stop playing church. Go run. Run to that altar with what you need. Come on, you need healing? Come on up. You need deliverance? We're going to pray for your deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you. 2023 is going to be the greatest year the church has ever had. But you got to go. It's the year of let's go. Let's go. Come on, Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord God. Right now, victory's coming with that act of faith. Oh, hallelujah. You stay here and you wait. Your Sunday dinner can wait. Your family can wait. This is the time for breakthrough. 2023 is the time of breakthrough. Let's go. Stop letting the enemy dictate to you. You tell him right now, shut up, devil. I'm getting what's mine. I'm getting what's promised. Some of you have been crying out and praying for the Holy Spirit to fill you. Well, get up here. Let's go. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one thing I want to add. Amen. Amen. I would pray, though, that you don't just take this as just some other message. Oh, that was really cool. Sunday was great. Wow, did you hear that? Oh, man, that was good. No. Apply everything you heard to you. Don't say, wow, I'm glad so-and-so was here. I wish so-and-so was here because this would have been perfect for them. No, this word was for you. You were here. Some of you don't usually come here. But you were here so you could hear this word for you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. There's nothing else to say. God is good. He's going to finish the work. He's going to continue the work.
There's a little something else to say. You know, we love to watch Christian TV programs or listen, go on the internet, but you have to be very, very careful what you're listening to. Because some of the messages are just a little bit off, but they're a little bit off, and that's why you have to know the Bible. You have to know the Word of God. You've got to stay in the Bible, and it will keep your spirit sensitive when you're reading the Word on your own. It's nice to go to Bible studies. It's nice to run here and there, but on your own, so that you have the Word of God and the knowledge of the Spirit between what is false and what is true. So you will be sensitive, because I'm telling you, it can 90% of it can sound good, but there's that one little thing that can throw you off. And not only that, it can open you up to more false teachings. So be very careful.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Father, we thank you for this morning's word, how you've spoken to each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for your messenger, for Ron, Father. May you continue to use him and bless him and make a way that he can share this more and more and more. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you've ministered to us, and pray now that you will minister through us. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The cafe's open if you'd like to stay around and fellowship and have some few refreshments. God bless you.
Judge, Creator,
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah,
El Elyon, the Most High God,
Adonai, Lord, Master,
El Shaddai, Lord, God Almighty,
El